Google just figured out how to squeeze 6 times more AI into the same memory, and Wall Street panicked so hard that chip stocks lost billions in a single day. Turns out better math is scarier than any competitor. Welcome to AI in 15 for Monday, March 30th, 2026. I'm Kate, your host.
And I'm Marcus, your co-host.
Happy Monday, Marcus. Big week ahead. Google dropped a compression algorithm that rattled the entire memory chip industry. A grandmother in Tennessee spent 5 months in jail because facial recognition said she was someone else. New research says AI is actually making us work harder, not less. Mistral released a powerful new open-source model. AI coding agents might save the free software movement. And a new tool called Miasma is trapping web scrapers in poison data pits. Google's TurboQuant compresses AI memory by 6x and sends chip stocks tumbling. A Tennessee grandmother jailed for 5 months over a facial recognition error. And research confirms AI isn't lightening workloads, it's intensifying them. Marcus, let's start with TurboQuant, because this is one of those stories where a research paper moves markets in the same week. What did Google actually build?
So, during AI inference, models maintain what's called a key-value cache, essentially the model's working memory for the conversation. Standard practice stores that at 16 bits per value. TurboQuant compresses it down to just 3 bits, with no measurable accuracy loss. That's a 6x reduction in memory footprint. And at 4 bits, they demonstrated up to an 8x speedup in computing attention on NVIDIA H100 GPUs compared to the uncompressed baseline.
And the accuracy holds up?
On needle-in-a-haystack retrieval tasks, which are the gold standard for testing whether a model can find a single piece of information buried in a long passage, TurboQuant achieved perfect scores. The math builds on 2 earlier frameworks, PolarQuant and quantized Johnson-Lindenstrauss transforms, from early 2025. The internet immediately dubbed it the real-life Pied Piper from Silicon Valley. Google is presenting the full details at ICLR in Rio next month.
And the market reaction was immediate.
Swift and brutal. Micron dropped 3%. Western Digital lost nearly 5%. In South Korea the next day, SK Hynix fell 6% and Samsung almost 5%. Investors were recalculating how much physical memory the AI industry actually needs. If you can do 6 times more with the same chips, maybe you don't need to buy 6 times as many chips.
But analysts are pushing back on the panic.
Forcefully, KB Securities put out a note saying low-cost AI technologies like TurboQuant are likely to lower barriers to adoption and significantly expand overall demand, ultimately making memory chip makers the biggest beneficiaries. TrendForce still projects contract DRAM prices rising 55-60% quarter-on-quarter. The historical pattern supports this. Better compression doesn't reduce demand. It unlocks demand that was previously priced out. Someone on Hacker News nailed it. The big players won't downsize. They'll use the freed-up memory for more workflows or larger models.
So, the sell-off was an overreaction.
Almost certainly, but the deeper question is real. The AI industry is spending over $150 billion on infrastructure based on certain assumptions about how much compute and memory you need. Better math can erode those assumptions overnight. TurboQuant didn't reduce the need for memory this week, but it proved that a sufficiently clever algorithm could.
From math that moves markets to a story that's going to make people angry. Angela Lips, a 50-year-old grandmother from Tennessee, spent more than 5 months in jail because Clearview AI's facial recognition flagged her as a bank fraud suspect. Marcus, what happened?
Someone used a fake Army ID to withdraw tens of thousands from banks in Fargo, North Dakota, last spring. Police ran images through Clearview AI, which has billions of photos scraped from the internet, and the system flagged Angela Lips as a potential match. Fargo police got a warrant. Lips was arrested in Tennessee in July, and extradited to North Dakota, a state she says she's never visited in her life.
And nobody checked whether she was actually in North Dakota when the crimes happened?
That's exactly the failure. Her attorneys say Fargo police didn't undertake basic investigative steps before causing a warrant to issue. It was her court-appointed public defender who finally did what the police hadn't. He asked her family for bank records, showing she was buying groceries and depositing Social Security checks in Tennessee, 1,200 miles away, at the time of the alleged crimes. The case was dismissed on Christmas Eve.
But the damage was already done.
She lost her house, her car, and her dog. She had no money and no coat when released after 5 months. She's at least the 9th known American wrongly arrested based on facial recognition. And the Hacker News discussion focused exactly where it should. Not on the AI itself, but on the systemic failure. A detective treated an AI match as evidence rather than a lead. A judge signed a warrant with only a Clearview match as the link. Every human checkpoint designed to prevent this outcome failed.
Clearview doesn't even let you delete your data unless you live in one of a handful of states that legally require it.
Which means your face is in their database, whether you consented or not. And there's nothing you can do about it in most of the country. This isn't a story about bad AI. The technology will always produce false matches. This is a story about institutions that treat AI output as gospel instead of as one data point that requires corroboration.
Next up, a study that's going to resonate with anyone who feels like AI tools are making them busier, not freer. Marcus, ActiveTrack analyzed over 10,000 workers. What did they find?
The conclusion is blunt. Quote, the data is unambiguous. AI does not reduce workloads. After employees started using AI tools, time spent on email increased 104%. Messaging and chat climbed 145%. Overall daily tasks shot up between 27 and 346%, depending on the role. Meanwhile, focused uninterrupted work sessions fell by 9%.
So people are doing more stuff, but less deep thinking.
They identified a mechanism called workload creep. Each individual task feels manageable because AI helps with it, so employees unknowingly take on more than is sustainable. AI raised expectations on speed, which paradoxically made workers more reliant on AI to keep up with the greater demands it created. Boston Consulting Group found a related phenomenon they call AI brain fry, where productivity gains plateau or decline when employees use four or more AI tools simultaneously.
And there's a great framing from the Hacker News discussion about this.
Cory Doctorow's concept of the reverse centaur. Instead of humans using machines to automate the boring parts, machines are using humans to do the messy parts, which crucially includes taking liability for AI's output. Multiple enterprise engineers confirm the pattern. Seniors now do the work of five juniors because AI handles the grunt work. But the senior doesn't get paid 5x, maybe 1.2x, if lucky.
The promise was AI would free us to do more meaningful work. The reality is a treadmill.
And a related paper from LSE and the University of Hong Kong puts a framework around it. They distinguish between strong bundle jobs, where tasks are deeply interrelated. Think radiologists who don't just read scans, but interpret edge cases and consult with clinicians. And weak bundle jobs, where tasks can be separated. In strong bundle roles, AI enhances performance. In weak bundle roles, AI automates the separable parts and leaves humans doing a narrower slice at reduced compensation.
So the question isn't whether AI takes your job. It's whether your job is a tight bundle or a loose one.
If your job is a tight bundle of interrelated skills and judgment, AI is your collaborator. If it's a loose collection of tasks that can be individually automated, AI is quietly hollowing out your role. That distinction matters more than any headline about job losses.
Mistral dropped a new model last week, Mistral Small 4, 119 billion parameters, Open source, Apache 2.0 license. Marcus, what makes this one notable?
It unifies capabilities that were previously split across separate products. Reasoning, multimodal, and agentic coding, all in one model. The architecture uses 128 experts, with 4 active per token, so only about 6 billion parameters fire per inference step. That's elegant engineering. 256K context window, 40% reduction in completion time, 3x more requests per second compared to Mistral Small 3.
And the Apache 2.0 license means anyone can use it commercially.
No restrictions. Self-host it, modify it, build products on it. Available through Hugging Face, VLLM, Llama.cpp, the works. This continues the trend of open source models closing the gap with proprietary offerings. A model that handles reasoning, vision, and coding under one roof with a permissive license is genuinely useful for enterprises that want to control their AI stack.
Here's a thought-provoking one. An essay arguing that AI coding agents could revive the free software movement went viral. Marcus, what's the thesis?
When AI agents can read source code, understand data models, and modify behavior on the fly, open source gains an insurmountable advantage over closed platforms. Instead of fighting with undocumented APIs and vendor-blessed integrations, an agent just reads the source and changes whatever it needs. The 4 freedoms of free software, to run, study, modify, and redistribute, become practically powerful again, after decades where SaaS made them feel academic.
But there's a dark side.
Adam Wathen, creator of Tailwind CSS, reported documentation traffic down 40% and revenue down 80%. AI agents consume the software without supporting the ecosystem. Mitchell Hashimoto had to restrict external contributions to Terraform because of low-quality AI-generated pull requests. If agents consume open source without sustaining the people who build it, the whole thing collapses. It's either a virtuous cycle or a tragedy of the commons.
Last one. Philadelphia courts banned smart glasses starting today, all of them, including prescription glasses with smart features. Violators face arrest.
This is one of the first real institutional pushbacks against consumer AI wearables. Courts are worried about covert recording for witness and juror intimidation. Philadelphia joins Hawaii, Wisconsin, and North Carolina. 7 million pairs of Meta AI integrated glasses sold last year, all with audio and video recording for under $500. The Hacker News discussion raised an important tension. These glasses increasingly serve as medical devices for vision assistance. Banning them creates a real accessibility problem.
As smart glasses go mainstream, this won't be the last ban.
Hospitals, schools, private businesses, everyone will have to draw this line. And the disability access angle ensures it won't be simple.
Monday Big Picture. Google proves better math can move billions in market cap overnight. A grandmother loses everything to a facial recognition match nobody bothered to verify. And AI is making us work harder while hollowing out our roles. Marcus, what's the thread?
Assumptions under pressure. The chip industry assumed memory demand was a straight line upward. TurboQuant showed a single algorithm can bend that curve. Law enforcement assumed AI matches were reliable enough to skip basic police work. Angela Lips paid for that assumption with 5 months of her life. And employers assumed AI would make workers more productive while doing less. The data says the opposite. Every assumption the AI industry is built on, about infrastructure, about accuracy, about productivity, is being stress-tested right now. The winners will be the ones who question their assumptions before reality does it for them.
Question your assumptions. Not bad advice for a Monday morning.
Especially when the assumptions cost $150 billion.
That's your AI in 15 for Monday, March 30th, 2026. See you tomorrow.